Let's pray. They are gathered around you, God of forever and ever. Some names are well known, like Martin Luther, or Mother Teresa, C.S. Lewis, Keith Green, Rich Mullins. Some have been forgotten, like Agnes and Kaduk, like Tuda, like Mary of Egypt and Neba. But many of these are just ordinary folk. They were just ordinary folks, like a teacher from an elementary school who patiently taught a generation of students. An ambassador who brought muffins to shut-ins. A woman who arranged flowers and then cared for grandchildren and raised them. Some who cared for many children who weren't even their own. Some were businessmen. Some were housewives. There were mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers and parents and friends who served on church committees with us and sang here in the rows beside us. Oh God, on this day, we remember them. Saints, just like us, singing your praise forever and ever. Oh God, we remember them this day, and we look to them to carry out their legacy of the church and of your love and of your kingdom on earth. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. This is a special day in the church calendar. It's All Saints, and we'll get a little bit more to that in just a second, but it's also Time Change Weekend, right? I find it kind of ironic that often on the weekend of Time Change is the weekend that we celebrate All Saints. There's something about these two things of time changing and celebrating the saints that strike a strange irony for me. But I've always struggled with the whole time change thing. You know, they say fall back and spring forward. I don't know about you, but most of the times that I fall forward, right? I fall down, I fall forward, right? So this is a whole thing that does not work for me. I never can remember which way to go, you know, and then you can spring back. So I have to be very, very careful, particularly since usually I need to be at church the next morning and preach at the correct hour. I get up really, really early on Sunday mornings. Usually about 4 a.m. I like to kind of go through the sermon notes, and I like to pray and just sort of have everything, you know, sort of settled in front of me. If you think I look unsettled, you should see me if I don't do this. But a few years back, I think it might have been the first year that I actually had an iPhone. I was in one of my first years at Birmingham, and the services there were 9:30 and 11, so getting up at 4 was really early for a 9:30 service. And I lived a little bit of a distance from the church, so I would drive because I just wanted to make sure car didn't break down. I got there before everybody else, make sure everything was working. And so this particular year, I think Teresa and I had gone to a movie. We came home, was going to get to bed early. Guy out my phone, set it back an hour, you know, got in bed. Went to sleep, alarm went off, got up, got dressed, you know, got my car, and drove to the church. I pulled into the church parking lot, and the Milton police pulled in behind me. And the police officer got out, and he said, what are you doing? And I said, well, I'm the pastor of this church, and I normally get here early. And he went, okay, and got back in his car. And so then I proceeded to go in and do all the things that I normally did. And then I was like, boy, it really is dark outside. Really dark. And then suddenly I had this realization that my clock would automatically set itself. So in setting it back an hour, it actually corrected itself and set back, you know. So it was actually 2 hours You know, and so I actually had this extra hour suddenly in my life. What was I going to do with this extra hour? I went to Waffle House. But it is this strange thing about time. You know, we here, we are modern people. You know, some would say we've moved into a postmodern era, but most of us were educated and still live in this sort of modern era where everything says 60 seconds, 60 minutes, you know, 24 hours, 365 days. And we think this is the calendar that we always have, and, you know, it is like solid scientific fact. But the fact is, time and the way that time has been set is in some ways a relative thing. Although that has been, you know, looked at the sun and the, you know, the way we revolve around the sun to derive that. But realize we still have to make up every few years this like little extra time, this leap year. So it's not exact. And throughout history, there's been different ways of keeping time, not always the same way. I remember a few years ago, you remember there was a big, you know, discussion around the Mayan calendar and all these, you know, prophecies around the Mayan calendar, but it was a different calendar than we had. And even today, you know, you've got like the Chinese calendar and you've got the Jewish calendar. So there's different ways of notating time than what we're familiar for right here in the West and the United States and Georgia and Conyers. Used to be at the time the sun came up, people got up. When the sun went down, you know, that was time to go to bed. And people weren't really like every 20 minutes saying like, what time is it? What time is it? What time is it? They were tuned in to the sun. And a lot of the Bible, all of the Bible, was written sort of with this regard to it. It wasn't until the 13th century there was actually a public clock in the middle of a town, and people started saying, what time is it? But then for centuries after that, the way that you sort of derived at what the correct time was, because, you know, as you travel, you know, the sun changes at different times, so you would go to the clockmaker in the town that you were in and ask him what the correct time was, and that's how the correct time was set. Until about the 18th century, when they started being trains, and they had to have, you know, a consistent train schedule, did they put the time zones into effect. And it wasn't until 1918 in this country that it actually became a law that made it mandatory to have time zones so that, you know, we could match things like train schedules and that sort of thing. Time, you know, we're bound to time. What time is it? What time's my appointment? Am I late for my appointment? Am I early for my appointment? You know, did I set the time back? You know, every year there's always somebody that comes to church an hour early. And every year in the spring there's always people that come an hour late. It's hard to keep track of time, but it is just seems sometimes that we're a prisoner to it. In the Bible, this one? Okay. In the Bible there are two different types of time, and some of you, this is a review, you know this, you've heard this before. But I think on a day like today, it's important to us, for us to remember, because this time change, you know, I think something about becoming a saint, becoming more like Christ, becoming more like God intended us to be, is to be able to see beyond the simple time that we have here and to see into the eternal time that we'll talk about in a second. But in the Bible, there are definitely two different types of time that are talked about. One is chronos time, where we get chronology. It's a time that continually moves from the past through the present into the future. It's a time where we measure by our clocks and calendars, the time that dictates our life. It is a time on the move that cannot be slowed or stopped. This continuous motion, you know. And if you like watched Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventures, and you know they were on the time travel, you know, when they could go in the time, but time was still going on the chronology. Now, it's a movie, so that's not real science, but I just watched that movie for the first time. I'm like, but there's chronology, there's you know, this ticking of the seconds and the minutes, and the Bible speaks about that. But it also talks about this other kind of time. And that is the kairos time, Kairos literally means, the Greek interpretation would be, the right or opportune moment, or the supreme moment. Jesus, when he came into the temple, he says, now is the time. The time. And the Greek word there is kairos. It is this supreme moment, you know, that's captured, you know, maybe a turning point. There's another sort of understanding and view of it, is that it is, in a spiritual sense, it's this time that connects us with really that which is eternal and sacred. You know, have you ever had those moments in time that seem to connect outside of just the mere minutes that it was, and maybe went on? There was a writer that I read who did a lot of hiking and traveling. He talks about being up way up into the mountains and experiencing the 1,000-year days, you know. And I get that. You get that? You know, this sense of this awe and this presence of God that connects us with the eternal. It moves us out of this seconds and minutes and daylight savings and all of that. How many of y'all either seen or studied the play Our Town? Thornton Wilder, you know, great American literature at its best. If you've ever seen it staged, it's very, very sparse. There's not a lot of props. There's not a lot of stage, sets and that sort of things. There's really just kind of chairs and maybe a stepladder or two. And it talks about this town, the passing of time in this town. And so in the first act, sort of establishing the characters. And then in the second act, there are rows and rows of chairs, and the people sitting in those chairs are the deceased, people that had gone before us. The play is still going on, it's still happening. It has a much more sad feel to it in the second act, as we learn that one of the main characters from the first act, Emily, has passed away during childbirth. And so she asks if she can go back. Remember this? She asks if she can go back and spend just one day. Just go back and spend one day. And so she is sent back for one day to observe her life in one day. And as she goes back, it's just an ordinary day. And she is trying, she sees herself interacting with her mother and running, and her mother is so busy, and everyone else is busy, and at one point she, as the deceased person, says, "Mama, just look at me 1 minute as though you really saw me. It goes by so fast, we don't have time to look at one another." These precious moments that we have, we so often don't see the kairos. We don't see what is important. We don't see what's eternal. To look with those eternal eyes, those eyes that are the lens of the kairos. And so she goes back and moves back on the stage where the seats are, where the deceased are. And she says to the stage manager, "Do any human beings ever realize life while they live it?" And he sighs and says, "No. No. Well, the saints and the poets, maybe. They do some." Sometimes it's an odd word that we struggle with when we hear saints, because that word has been put in front of some people in history. Saint Augustine, Saint Matthew, Saint Paul, Saint Teresa, Saint Francis. And so it's hard for us average people to realize that we too are called to be saints. To be the saints, that's our spiritual calling. You know, well, the Roman Catholics have a different way of looking at it than we do, but, you know, we normal people are called to be saints, to live that out. One spiritual mentor that I look, who was a saint and called a saint, is Saint Francis. And he wrote this. He said, "We are in a pilgrim's trying to reach our Father, trying to live a life of love. We have not arrived. We are sinners, but we are called to be saints." So it is this time that we're living here when we're in between this, on this pilgrimage, on this journey. On this journey to imagine what it will look like one day. The first song we sang today, I hope you get used to, because we'll be singing it again. Amen. This picture in Revelation, John had of looking at what heaven is going to be like. Just soak in this image. Just soak in this image as we're here in our chronological time and see if we can like capture in a moment and see the kairos, the eternal of what. Because the song says, when we've been there, 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Time without time. The writer says, or John says, in this vision, "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language." Listen to this. Every nation, every tribe, every people, every language. We sometimes here in the West, in the way that we worship, think it's the one way. But, when you just think about how diverse heaven is going to be with this just tapestry of people and the cultures that they bring and all of that together. If you don't like diversity, you're probably not going to like heaven. So, but it is every tribe, every nation, every people, every language. That's part of our commission to get the word out, right? To every tribe, every people, every language, every nation. "Standing before the throne, before the Lamb, all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen, praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders asked me, 'These in white robes, who are they? And where do they come?' And I answered, 'Sir, you know.' And he said, 'These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence.'" I love this part. "Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Can you sense the kairos in this moment? This moment. This eternal moment in time. When we all get together and praise the Lamb. Today, as I said, is All Saints. I have in your bulletin, which, granted, we don't usually pay a whole lot of attention to. But we are today. And something we're going to do is something that's the first time y'all have done with me, and that is we're going to have a little printed order of a liturgy for our time together. There's some words here that have been pulled from Scripture, pulled from other places that can help us and direct us. I'm going to ask Steve and Robin, who are going to be taking part of this ceremony. Someone said one time that time is simply a way to keep everything from happening at once. I said that to Steve this week. He said, time, it's just one thing after another. But, you think about it, our chronology, it's the way we order things. It's a necessity, and it's a good thing. If we didn't have an orderly sequence of events, it wouldn't be possible for us to, understand with our minds that we have in the dimension that we are. But there are these times when the chronos kind of melts away into the kairos. These often happen for me in worship. They often happen for me in real high times of worship like we're doing today. I wrote in the front of the bulletin, I have actually grown to like cemeteries, as odd as that may sound. I used to not like them at all. But there is that coming together there for me, and I will sometimes before or after a ceremony, because I spend too much time in cemeteries as a preacher at funerals, and I walk among the graves and read those gravestones and see, you know, we were looking at one this week, Robin, it was back in the Civil War where we were up at Gail's place, and just see, but you know, they'll be their name. Sometimes they'll be a verse of scripture that they liked, or one or two things, beloved husband, beloved father. But really, it's just a few words. And you know that's not all. You know, if you could find somebody who really knew them, they could tell you story after story of this person and who they were and what they stood for and how they loved and how much they were loved. It's just a few words. And I get that same sort of sense on All Saints when I read these names. And so many of these people I didn't know, I just heard stories about. And I know that it's more than a name. And it's a moment of kairos. We think about these people that are now on the other side. You know, that we sing that song, old bluegrass tune, "Will the circle be unbroken by and by?" You know, sometimes people think about it, it's a family circle, but it's also this image of this altar that on one side we're praying, but on the other side the saints are praying. You know, and in heaven that circle won't be broken. They're filling in for us on the other side of the circle now in heaven. We stand on this side. And so I invite you to find your little piece of paper and join me. You got your thing right? Okay. Each year on All Saints, we remember the lives of those whose service, hopes, accomplishments, and faith have touched our own. Let us be reminded of these words of assurance from Scripture. In dying, Christ destroyed our death. Rising, Christ restores our life. Christ will come again in glory. And if we don't have babies in the church, we won't continue. So don't fret, Dan. We like that noise. It's the noise of a church that's alive. So, yeah. As in baptism, these faithful brothers and sisters put on Christ, so in Christ they are in glory. Let us pray. God of Abraham and Sarah, of Moses and Deborah, of Mary and Joseph, of Paul and Phoebe, God of our fathers and mothers, and God of all creation, we praise you for the great company of those all who finished their course in faith and now rest from their labors. And, O God, we praise you for those dear to us whom we name in our hearts. And you may have someone special in your heart that you're thinking about today. And we also praise you for your children whom you have taken to yourself as we remember these church members that have passed away in the past year. Thomas Scott. Tom. Kimberly Minshoffer. Mary Allen. William Brooks Jr. Bill. Mary Ann Cawley. Brittany Tate. James Flint, or Jimmy. Pauline Hayes. Cal James. Lois Laird Gardner. Doug Fox. Evelyn Sweet Hurd. Eric Lynn Chandler. Carlotta Wiggins. Barbara Holster. These and others are your holy ones. Until we join with your people and praise at your throne, we press on. And in the company of your saints from every age, we praise you, one God, world without end. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Now they rest from their labors, and their works follow them. Blessed forever is our God. Amen. As God has poured out his rich mercy in our lives, let us give thanks as we gather at his table to celebrate the life we share in Christ. Blessed are you, Lord, our God. Your giving never ceases. Fill the lives of your faithful people with such gratitude that we may always be. Amen. Many are God's saints. Many are those who share this place at God's table with us. Just as Jesus shared with his close friends around the table on the night he was betrayed and offered up for us all. At supper, he took bread, and having given thanks to God, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you." And after the supper, he took the cup, blessed it, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all die, but we shall all be changed. The perishable nature must put on the imperishable, and this mortal immortality. Then shall come to pass this saying, "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" Thanks be God who gives us victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Pour out your Spirit on us gathered here. And on these gifts of bread and of juice, may they be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world his body, redeemed by his blood, working towards becoming saints till we join the saints by and by. Let's join in the feast of Christ's victory. Let's now go in God's peace. And be committed to live as those who are committed to join with the saints, to be able to sing to the Lamb in heaven on that grand and glorious Kairos moment in history. Amen. Go in peace.